I want to excuse my voice right in the beginning. I woke up this morning and I feel like I could drain a 3 right now. I mean, I feel great. But for whatever reason, my voice was gone this morning a little bit. So, no yelling this morning from the pulpit. I'll do my best. I'm going to have Pastor Jason read the text of Scripture this morning in John 19. So if you have your Bibles, please grab those. And in the sovereignty of God, as we've been walking through the Gospel of John, we come to the passage in John 19, which is the beginning of the crucifixion. And I'm excited about the opportunity to go through this with you and leading up into the Easter service on April 20th, where we will proclaim, as we do today, the risen Christ. And so, Jason, if you could do me a favor and read the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 1 through 16 for me.
We'll do that. Thanks, Greg. John 19, 1 through 16. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to him, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters and again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. And therefore he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not a friend of Caesar's. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus and sat down on the pavement, on the judgment seat, at a place called the Stone Pavement, in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation over the Passover, and it was about the 6th hour. So he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to be crucified.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, your blessing on the rest of this service. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a light unto our paths. And God, I pray that by the work of the Holy Spirit, that Lord, that there would be power that comes from your word. As you say in Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the words of Christ. And so God, we thank you for these words and we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think there's a greater passage that we can celebrate communion together than the crucifixion of our risen Lord and Savior. You know, over the course of the 39 years that I've been alive, there have been several events in my life that I had to do a lot of preparing for. I'll just name a couple for you. I'll never forget my first interview at Safeway grocery store when I was 14 years old. I remember having to learn how to tie a tie and my dad showing me how to tie it the right way. And you remember the first time you tied a tie and the big part was way up here and the behind part went way down here and you're like, "How did that happen?" And your dad would show you again. And I'll never forget that interview with Bob Davitt. I still remember his name. I was so nervous. I didn't know what questions he was going to ask me. I didn't realize he just wanted to person just to put groceries on. There wasn't much of an interview, but I prepared for it. I remember asking Laura to marry me and the preparation of that day, getting a ring and being very scared. I remember I had a great idea. It was going to be, because we played Scrabble a lot, I was going to put the ring in the Scrabble stuff. And as she pulled out the little chips or whatever they're called, the little things, she'd pick out her ring. There's a lot of preparation that went into me asking her to marry her. Now, she messed the whole thing up because she said she didn't want to play Scrabble that night, so I ended up asking her on a gravel road Wall Lake. Yes, in a gravel road in Wall Lake. Now that's preparation, baby. Our lives are all about preparation, are they not? What are you going to do today? What are you going to do tomorrow? Planning this, planning that. Preparation always leads to an end, does it? Well, over the course of the next 2 weeks, leading up to Easter, we're going to be going through the crucifixion. See, the crucifixion is preparation. It's preparation for the resurrection. Without the crucifixion, there is no resurrection. We can't skip the crucifixion, no matter how painful it is to read. Jesus didn't skip it, and you won't either. So let's talk about the preparation. The preparation for the resurrection. The very crucifixion illustrates 28, give or take, prophecies of the Messiah of Jesus Christ. 28 of them. Now, I'm not going to go through all of them for the sanctity of time, I guess. But just know that in Zechariah, it said he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver, and it was answered. He said his clothes would be divided, and it was answered. He would be beaten and spit on, and it was answered. He would be silent before his accusers. His hands and feet would be pierced. Darkness would come over the land. His bones would not be broken. He would be hated without cause. He'd be crucified next to thieves. All preparation for the resurrection. Now, to every Jewish Christian, someone who would proclaim Jesus as their Lord and Savior after Jesus had died and rose again, they would see the correlation that the Passover had with Jesus. So John writes in verse 14, as I skip up a little forward here, he says, now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. Why did John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talk about the Passover? Well, because it was the week of Passover. Every Jew knew of the Passover celebration. It coordinated with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was a memory of Exodus chapter 12. For the sanctity of time, again, in Exodus chapter 12, you learned Moses gave the step-by-step process by which the Passover would be celebrated. If you remember the story in Exodus, Moses took the people out of Israel. And during that time, before that time, God put plagues and judgments against Egypt. And to those who would not follow God's path and God's will, and specifically Pharaoh himself. We came to the very last judgment on Egypt, on Pharaoh, of the unbelievers of the true God. And that judgment was that the firstborn child of Egypt, of anyone, would be dead. And God gave Moses preparation for that time. He said, you take the blood of a spotless lamb and you take lentils and hyssop and branches and you mark the doorposts, one on the left, one on the right, one on the top. And this sacrifice, this represented the spotless, perfect lamb. And if they did that, they followed God's commands in preparation for this death that would come, that God would pass over their house and save them. Every Jew knew to celebrate it. There was much preparation for this feast of unleavened bread plus Passover. It carried on. For Christians today, we celebrate communion, do we not? We celebrate communion as a reminder of this very thing. Jesus is our Passover lamb, all preparing us to spend eternity with Him if we would believe. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 this, "Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened," meaning sinful. "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." The Jews, the Jewish Christians of the day knew exactly this very celebration of Passover was a foreknowledge of Jesus Christ. And they would celebrate the Passover every year as a reminder of what Jesus has done. And as they celebrated communion, they would remember that their Passover lamb died for them. Have you spent a lot of time reading the gospel, the four gospels' portrayal of this crucifixion? I was very tempted to play the Passion of the Christ. With better judgment, I didn't. But just out of curiosity, how many of you have seen The Passion of Christ, the movie? Just out of show of hands. Okay, quite a few of you. I watched over and over, just as preparation for this message, over and over, that depiction of the Passion, the crucifixion, the very preparation that Jesus went through for His resurrection. And I just sat there. And I couldn't believe that He went through this for me. That He went through all of this for me. In Luke chapter 22, verse 53, I believe, at the beginning of this preparation, this crucifixion, Jesus says this. He says, "When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." This preparation, this crucifixion, God allowed Satan to have his will on the God-man. There are three things that I see from this passion, from this crucifixion. I'm just going to go right to those because I could tell my voice is already going. But here's the first thing I want you to remember as you prepare your own hearts. As you prepare yourself day by day, knowing what Christ has done for you, the crucifixion prepares us all. And the first thing that I see in these verses, for example, in verse 11, I'm going to go through, but the first thing I see is the crucifixion shows the grossness of our sin. Pilate was such a wimp. He didn't want to have to decide the fate of this man, Jesus. He found no guilt in this man, Jesus. But out of fear for the Jews and for his own well-being, he delivered him up. And as we learned last week, all in the sovereignty of God. But when man is left on his own, you can read verses in Romans chapter 3, and Romans chapter 6 and 7. When you see these things, you see when man is left alone, we are gross in our sin. the soldiers twisted together crown of thorn and placed it on Jesus' head, mocking him, "All hail the King of the Jews." Mocking and mocking. Bringing him out before all the people. As Pilate said, "Behold, look, he's just a man." Pilate did everything he could. He beat him. He flogged him. He scorned him. He embarrassed him. All because he didn't want to have to deal with Jesus. Hoping that the Jews would see, this can't be this God-man. Put him before the people. And said, "Look, this is just a man." The crucifixion shows the grossness of our sin. Do you, in preparation for what God has for you, do you think your sin is gross? Looking at the crucifixion all week, I was reminded how gross my sin is. When we hold the bread today, in preparation for communion, you'll hold that bread. And that bread is a representation of the spotless Lamb of God. Our Paschal Lamb, as Exodus chapter 12 says. And you see His perfect, spotless body was given for you. Because you can't hold up to the glory of God. You are unholy. When you go to the communion table in preparation for that time, it is your opportunity to confess sin before a holy God. To understand how gross our sin really is. When you lose that grossness, God have mercy on us. You know, there will be a day when the Spirit of God is removed from this place. And praise God that those of us who call Christ Lord will be taken up. And we won't experience what this world will be like without the Spirit of God. I think in this crucifixion, we get a picture of how ugly our sin really is. The crucifixion shows the grossness of our sin. The second thing I see here, the crucifixion shows the true love of God for mankind. When you hold that cup, when you hold that cup in preparation for this time that you spend in communion with God and the fellow believers in Christ, when you hold that cup, you know that without the blood, there is no remission of sins. Hebrews 9:22 tells us this. Without the blood, there is no remission of sins. Christ had to die. In preparation for Easter and the resurrection, we cannot skip the crucifixion. We cannot skip that Jesus gave his own blood and died for the sins of man. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That's what Christ did. He took your sin on the cross. He bled and died for you. The crucifixion shows his true love for mankind. Look in verse 10 and 11 with me, if you could. In verses 10 and 11, it says this. It says, "So Pilate said to them, 'You will not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and the authority to crucify you?'" I mean, just think real quick. Someday Pilate, someday in the future, mean, it already happened, but he did stand before a throne. He did see Jesus at his throne. And if Pilate never came to Christ, he was judged. In verse 11, Jesus answered him, "You have no authority over me at all, unless it was given to you from above." The crucifixion to me shows that the true love of God for mankind. And these verses tell us, listen, God's got it all under control. He's got your trial. He's got your pain. He's got your suffering. And it's all preparation for the glory he will reveal to you in heaven. God's got it. The crucifixion shows that God's got it. He wasn't tricked into this. He's got it. And it was all preparation for the resurrection that would come. It's all part of God's plan so that he might get all the glory. And the last thing I see, the crucifixion shows us an example to follow. When he was beaten and mocked and humiliated, he followed through. When he was humiliated, he didn't return hate. The crucifixion shows us an example. Follower of Jesus Christ, you will be persecuted. You will suffer. And Christ shows you to follow through. And he has given you Holy Spirit. He has given you the Holy Spirit to teach you all that Jesus did. What you're going through, what pain and suffering and whatever you might be going through, Jesus wants to bring you through it. There's a verse in Romans chapter 12. I want you to follow along as this example that Jesus gives us. Blessed are those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Repay no one for evil, no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Behold, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. The crucifixion shows us the example to follow. Jesus is our example. The crucifixion shows the grossness of our sin. The crucifixion shows the true love of God for mankind. The crucifixion shows us the example to follow. Listen, believer in Christ, your Christian life is preparation for the day that you'll meet Jesus. Your lives are preparation for the day that you'll meet Jesus. Do you remember your salvation day? The preparation that God made in your own heart as he broke down your pride and everything so that you would come to a saving knowledge that he died for your sins? You received the free gift of salvation that God freely offered you when you asked Jesus to take away your sin and forgive you and to be Lord of your life? Do you remember the preparation that God did in your heart? Your life is preparation for the day that you'll meet Jesus. And every day after that you call Jesus your Lord is preparation. Or should I call it sanctification? The setting apart. The setting you apart for holiness. And the Holy Spirit's work in your life. So let me ask you, how's the preparation going? Do you fight God? Do you fight His Word? How's the preparation going? Pilate attempted repeatedly to get rid of Jesus. I don't want to hear it, Jesus. I got to get rid of this guy. You know what? He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. You know why Pilate couldn't get rid of Jesus? Because no man can. If you think you can wiggle out of a commitment to Christ, you're wrong. No decision is a decision like Pilate's. Your life is preparation for the day you'll meet Jesus. And if you know Him as Lord, if you understand that He has died for your sins and you proclaim Him that way, well, then you know the grossness of your sin. You know His love for you. And you know the example He's given you. R.C. Sproul, as I close here, was talking to a friend of his, and he was an unbeliever. And the friend said, "So what's the big deal about this Christian life anyway? What is the overarching theme of the Christian life? Give it to me." And R.C. Sproul, to answer the question, as he thought about it for a while, because that's a deep and profound question, he used the Latin term, coram Deo. And all of you know what coram Deo means, right? Well, let me tell you what it means. It means to live in the presence of God. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you live in the presence of God. So how's it preparing you? If you realize your life and everything that you do is being in the presence of God, because He is in you, how does that change the way you live? R.C. Sproul said, "Listen, to live in the presence of God is to understand that wherever and whenever I'm doing something, I am acting under the gaze of God. God is omnipresent. There is no place so remote that you can escape His penetrating grace." Coram Deo. Live in the presence of God. When you study the preparation that Jesus went through, and you acknowledge what Jesus has done for you, you want to live for Him. And you realize that your life is just for Him. So now as we celebrate communion together, we do it a little bit different here. So if you've never experienced communion at High Point Church, I'm going to explain it to you real quick. In a little bit, I'm going to have a word of prayer. And then I'm going to go sit down. And during that time, you prepare your hearts for that communion table. And when you're ready, when you've confessed sin before a holy God, when you are asking God to give you a repentant heart, grant repentance, then you go back there and you grab the bread and you grab the juice and you come back and sit down. When you hold that bread, you understand that you cannot stand up before a holiness of God. That His perfect, spotless life is something you can never do. And so he became the Passover lamb. When you gaze on Christ, when you place your trust in the risen Savior, then death will pass over you. You look at what Jesus did, you prepare your heart, and you look at the grossness of your sin, and you confess it. And you thank God for His true love for you. And you ask God to do a work in your life, to make your lives living examples for Him on this world. You come back to your table, and you hold those elements, and then I'm going to come back up and read the passage in 1 Corinthians 11. As a remembrance, as Passover, as the Feast of Unleavened Bread was a remembrance and a preparation for what God is doing in the hearts of men. Communion is a blessed time, and I'm thankful for the remembrance that God has given us. If you are here and you have never placed your trust in Christ, what is stopping you? Except your pride. Listen, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You will either face the wrath of God or you will have the wrath of God removed in Christ. Either He clothes you with His righteous robe or you're coming in with your filthy garments. What is stopping you from asking Christ to save you from the grossness of your sin? Confess your need for Jesus. Believe He is the Lord of your life. And ask Him to do whatever He can to make your life a living example for Him. Coram Deo. Live in the presence of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we would have it that You wouldn't have to go through a crucifixion. We would have it, Lord, that You didn't have to go through any of this. But Lord, You demonstrated Your love that while we were sinning, Christ died for us. And Jesus, we know that the crucifixion was preparation for Your glory. And the resurrection and the freedom and the victory over death. And so God, as we come to this communion table, prepare our hearts. Help us to see areas where we're not giving You glory, where we're not living in the presence of You. God, forgive us. Help us to be led by the Holy Spirit and not fulfill the desires of our flesh. For it's in Your name I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.